Welcome to the Last Sunday Podcast, where we discuss last Sunday's sermon at Majestic View Church in beautiful Kiowa, Colorado. Senior Pastor John Smith talks with Kyle Peters to answer questions, provide clarity, and take a deeper dive on some points from the sermon. This is your chance to be a fly on the wall for personal discipleship.
Well, Kyle, it's good to be back with you. Let's do what we usually do, and let's pray.
Absolutely.
Father, we are thankful for this privilege to once again sit here together to talk through the truths that you've given to us from your word, and that we were able to share last Sunday. And Lord, we are tremendously grateful for the joy you bring to our lives. And I pray that as we have this conversation, it would just be further embedded in our hearts as to the joy that you give and just who you are in us. We love you so much. We pray for our listeners, Lord, that they would know your joy and we would know your joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's been quite a week.
It's been a crazy week for a lot of reasons.
We had, last week we recorded on Monday. We had a national election on Tuesday. We had a snowstorm that lasted for 5 days that started on Tuesday. It was, I think most of us here were digging out Sunday morning. It's been pretty... been good. Actually, it's been really good.
The Lord gave us 9 inches of moisture, give or take a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is more than half our annual moisture count here
which when frozen and broken up into little tiny flakes of snow amounted to 3 feet in some areas.
Yes, we definitely had 3 feet at my house.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I did in some. I'm out a little further out of town. So we get some drifting. So sometimes you can see grass and not a house. You just right next to each other. You never know. So this week was, we continued. This is number 10?
Yes, it was the 10th one. Yeah. That's right.
Number 10, joy is trusting in Jesus no matter what. Now, I will confess, I was one of them that didn't get here on Sunday, but I did catch the live stream, which is also recorded and put on YouTube, and I link it in the podcast notes for anybody listening that
good
wants to.
And just so in case somebody's a little confused, for some reason the live stream got broken in half.
Yep.
And the second half would be very confusing if you didn't have the first half.
Yeah, it was. So the longer of the two is the main sermon. There's a shorter one that's like 25 minutes, and it's. The second, it's part two.
There you go.
Yeah. So, trusting in Jesus no matter what. And as I was listening to this, as I was listening to the sermon on the YouTube live stream, we got to hear some people saying what they are joyful for. But what I really got was from that was people saying how this. Parishioners of the church saying how this series has started changing their minds a little bit, that that they're reminded to be joyful when they might not have otherwise been that way. I found that to be pretty interesting.
You know, part of joy is a choice. And often we choose not to be joyful, or we choose to look at the circumstances as a big negative, mm-hmm. instead of looking for the things that God has for us in that. And when we do look for the joy, we do look for what God is doing and seeing God at work, that produces joy. If we allow the circumstances to make us angry, to make us bitter, to go into ourselves, then we'll miss the opportunity to know something that can sustain us through a hard situation. That's the wonder of joy. It's that God gives joy when we can't be happy because our circumstances are not happy, but we can still have joy in Him.
Well, I think there's not necessarily as much in our community, admittedly, but there's probably a lot of people that weren't feeling joy this last week, and probably not because they got 36 inches of snow. And I find that we discussed this a little bit last week, but boy, it just saddens me, the things that we as a society, and I catch myself doing it too, individually, getting caught up in the things we can't change and worrying about circumstances that just maybe they do matter. They do matter, whatever it is. You know, the election matters. Losing my job, you know, if that happens, that matters. That's a big deal, but I can still see good in the world through that. And I feel like as a society, I feel like we're slipping in that. And I try not to do that myself.
Well, I think it has to do with our perspective for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Often I've used the illustration that when you think about our life on the rope of eternity, imagine a rope that extends on to infinity. And that is an example of what eternity is, okay? And if you tie a knot in that rope, that is my entire life. Not a moment, my life. When you look at this world, is between 7 and 10,000 years old. Now, I know that's not what the evolutionists believe.
Right.
But that's what it is, and I trust what... Oh, my, the train's coming. But
we'll make sure our cell phones are on silent here real quick.
When you look at the speck, even in the course of the last 7,000 years of civilization, my life is just a speck in that 7,000 years, much less eternity. Right. And so this particular situation I'm in today, as bad as it may be, is just a speck of a speck. It's just a little tiny part. And so having the perspective of what this is going to, what's going to happen, and knowing that, you know what, this too shall pass. And that God may have a plan, and God does have a plan to make it very special for us.
Well, I think looking at my own life and focusing on my own journey here, we fight as a society. And I've been guilty of it too, to remove God from so many things. And I've been around a lot of people here lately that it seems like I don't know where they're at. I don't know where they're at on things, but it seems like they try so hard to not mention anything biblical, not bring God into play at all. Saying a blessing over a meal has to be almost agnostic, you know. I think it's a fear of offending someone who may or may not be there. Like they don't even know. So I'm just better safe than sorry, kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I'm more afraid of offending the one that gave me the life and the breath to prepare and to eat that meal than I am of offending somebody else. That doesn't mean I want to be offensive. You know me. I don't go out of my way to be offensive to people. I try not to be. But listen, I want to be grateful to the benefactor who has blessed my life with more than I can ever imagine. And I'm talking about my physical life, not just not even to start mentioning what I have for eternity, because Jesus Christ died for my sins and Jesus Christ has given me life. He's made me a new creation in Him. And the wonder of that, how can I not be thankful? Mm-hmm. And when we boil it down to this election was a big deal. This country is so divided. We boil it down to that. And the last one I thought was almost as big as this one. And it didn't go the way I wanted it to go. I'll be very frank. Mm-hmm. The last one, or the one 4 years ago, I mean. And I was sad. My heart grieved over what was going to happen. But I did not get angry. I did not cut relationships off. And I've been seeing and watching.
You weren't out in the street turning over cars and setting things on fire?
No, I was not.
No, okay, all right.
I'm not saying that I wasn't very, very disappointed that things didn't go the way I wanted them to go.
Right.
But this is not the end of my life. And if it is the end of my life on this earth, it's just the beginning of my eternity with the Lord and in His presence. So why would I want to destroy my relationships with other people because of that?
With regards to finding joy and looking at the time frame that we have on earth, one of the things that's been still weighing in my life in the last 6 months, we lost a member of the family, and my kids, you know, as adults, I think we just get jaded to some degree, but the kids, this is still very raw for them. And they feel it viscerally, regularly still. And especially my son, he wears his heart on his sleeve. And I think my daughter tries to power through it more. But with regards to that, one of the things I tell them is, you know, I ask them, why are you upset? And, well, it's because our grandfather's, he died. And I was like, yeah, you're not, I don't believe that. I don't think you're upset because of that. You're upset because you miss him. At least that's the way I think it should be, is that you miss him. Don't be upset for him that he died. Be happy for him. He moved on to a better place. But we feel the pain of the loss. That's what we cry for. But, you know, this... again, it's just a tiny little—it's a blip of our full existence. Is this 80, 90, maybe 100 years that we get on this earth? You know, and my father-in-law lived to be 80 years old, and boy, that used to be old. It used to be old.
It's not nearly as old as it used to be.
The closer I get to it, the younger it is.
Oh, you only know the half of it, my friend. Because you're about...
Because I'm a little over halfway there, yeah. You know, I try to look at that in that kind of perspective, and I hope that's helping them. I'm not sure that it's fully sunk in yet, but again, like you said, you know, you look at that time frame and you say, man, 80 years was that, and I'm not saying this for my father-in-law, don't get me wrong, but, you know, is someone's 80 years of existence on this planet, is that 80 years of misery? Boy, I hope not, but even if it is, if you got a good place to go after that, so what?
Yeah, it depends on what our hope is, and if we do have hope. And, you know, my hope is firmly planted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and the fact that I put my faith in Him. But people that don't have that, they don't have anything. I've witnessed at memorial services. One time I saw this family that they had no concept of God in their family. Mm-hmm. And this was many years ago in another state. And I officiated that service, not because I knew the person, but because there was one part of the family that knew me and said, would you come to a service for us? Mm-hmm. And so when I was doing that, I saw a visible thing happen in the crowd. It was like there was a churning, like a wave in that service, and an agitation that was there. Everybody was affected by it except for this one family that had hope in Christ Jesus. The rest did not. And then after I had finished speaking, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I mean, there was absolute chaos and turmoil and uncontrollable. They lost it. There were people that were nearly passing out because there was so much hopelessness. And my heart just broke because there's this family standing there that had the peace of God, but the rest of the family had nothing. It was over. It was done. And they had no hope of the future. And so hope is firm.
Are you saying they had a realization in that moment that maybe what they were doing wasn't quite right? Or
no, I think that they did not know what to do with their grief.
Okay.
And they had no concept that there was hope available. They didn't listen to what I said. They weren't willing to listen to God. And because God was not a part of their lives, because the hope of Jesus Christ was not real to them, they could not deal with this death. And, you know, in situations like that, if there is one person that goes over the edge, then there may be 10. And it was kind of like a panic spread through the crowd. But it was the most extreme thing I've ever seen, and I've done more funerals than I know. I can count. And that was crazy. And the hopelessness I can still see that scene. Funeral directors were having to catch people from falling out.
Goodness.
Kind of thing. It was awful. But it was an extreme example of the hopelessness where there was no Christ, no Jesus. And so, you know, back to what we've been talking about, joy is trusting in Jesus no matter what. And the joy of my life is no matter what comes my way today, it can be some annoyance. As I said in my sermon, my truck wouldn't start yesterday morning.
Right.
Parked right in front of the church. I'd only left it for, I'd just been driving it in, and now we'll start. And saying, I wonder what this is going to be, you know, to the heat not coming on when we turned it on originally. And, you know, just little things like that, all the way to major things like the losing of the loss of your grandpa.
That's a
big deal.
It is.
Because that's a significant relationship that's over as far as the physical embracement of it.
Right.
There's a big hole there.
Yeah.
So how do you make it through that? Well, it's like you said, it's realizing that the Lord Jesus can give me comfort. The Holy Spirit has promised to give us comfort if we'll let Him. And even seeing through that, we can have that joy and we can have that hope.
You made a recommendation last week to me for a book, Seeking Allah and Finding Jesus. And I think before I left your office, I started downloading the audio book onto my phone. And that was good. I know you read it in the paper book, the actual physical book. I would recommend you get the audio. It had an interview at the end with the author and his friend who converted him, essentially, or
loved him to Jesus.
Yes, loved him to Jesus. But what an inspiring story that was. And you know, one of the things you talked about in the sermon was paying attention when the Spirit speaks to you. Have your ears open, and that when something good happens to you by way of someone else, maybe that was them being influenced as well to come and give aid to someone else.
Yeah, and what you're referring to is when I was talking about how Paul was saying thank you to these people that had tried to care for him in his darkest moments, mm-hmm. and nobody else did. So, you know, we talked about that gift being timely.
Mm-hmm.
And the timing of it for them to respond when nobody else did was like, wow. And then Paul said, you know, I am so excited because now you understand, because you were able to provide for my needs, that you can trust God to provide for your needs. He may use somebody else besides me, but God is totally capable of taking care of our needs. And when we trust Him, we get to see those things. When we don't trust Him, we slug our way through it and we figure out a way to survive. Man, I don't want to survive. I want to walk in joy.
I want to thrive, yeah. Well, you know, with regards to the Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus book, he talks about how he wasn't ready, but there was some persistence there. There was a nagging at him almost of hey, pay attention. Look over here. Look at this. And it really did make me wonder. It was a thought-provoking sermon that got a lot of thoughts in my head. But one of the things was that, like, how many people come into my life that maybe I'm not giving them the time that I should, or am I not focusing on them enough? And what influence can I have over someone, and what impact can I, and what impact have I had? And this is a recurring theme, I think, for us. As I'm saying, I'm like, I've said this before, but how awesome is that? That we can have some pretty profound effects on people, even if it's just sending them a thank you card.
Yes. It has been a reoccurring theme. It is a reoccurring thing in the Word of God, but especially in the book of Philippians. As Paul remembered his time and he was reconnecting with these people through the written word, he was remembering the experiences. He was watching their growth. He was seeing how God had used him and how they had grown and how they had developed. And yes, that whole give and take thing where somebody comes alongside you. And as you refer to this book, Seeking Allah and Finding Jesus, this man made the statement that his friend David was the first Christian that ever honestly engaged. Well, there was one girl that tried one time and she didn't have any idea what she was doing, but she still tried. And besides that, he was the only one that would take the time to engage him. And yet God had such a plan for his life. So, and he became this incredible mouthpiece of the love of Jesus Christ and the authenticity of who Jesus is and what he did in a world that is trained from birth to reject Jesus as the Savior. Wow. David's investment in him was amazing. And something else real quick. David was actually criticized because he stayed with him so long.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he still hadn't accepted Christ, but David kept trying.
It was several years before. People, what are you still doing?
There was a lady that my wife led to the Lord. I think it was over 2 years that she met with her on a pretty well a weekly basis before she trusted Christ. It was very difficult.
You know, one of the things that as you said that, it reminded me that when he met his friend David, that David was the first person he'd ever seen read the Bible. And as he was thinking about it, people don't sit down and read the Quran just to read the story and to learn from it. They might do it to memorize a passage, but he had never seen someone read the Bible. Just as a matter of course, he wasn't looking something up. He wasn't working on a lesson. he was sitting down just to read it.
Yeah. I'm reminded of that sometimes when I go on my trips. You know, I have books that I'll take with me that a lot of times will have a Christian theme, but I'm always thinking about the person I'm sitting next to on the plane that I've never seen before and probably will never see again. Mm-hmm. I don't want to read my Bible for show. That's not genuine. That's not real. But it is true that my Bible is going to be with me when I go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe on my phone, but usually I'm taking my physical Bible because that is, I need that. I need that time with God. But there is the byproduct of the fact I love the Word of God. I love to read the stories of the great people of faith. There's some intrigue in the Bible that's pretty amazing. And then when I get into some of the things that are not necessarily stories, they're more what we call doctrinal or practical about how to live. And I begin to ask questions of the Lord, why is that there? That doesn't make any sense to me. And then I discover the wonder of Him opening that up to me and letting me see, oh, wow, that's why that's there. And the delight of that. Boy, that's incredible joy. So as believers, do we love the Word of God? Do we yearn for the Word of God? And Kyle, I'm going to just punch this a little bit here. The reason we don't love the Word, the times in my life when I haven't loved the Word, you know why? It's because I love something else more. Mm-hmm. I loved other things more. Maybe it was football, or maybe it was what you put it in there, you know, whatever it might be.
Right.
What do you love? And the Bible says that if we love the world, the love of the Father's not in us. Wow.
Mm.
That's convicting.
Back to your carrying the Bible on the plane thing, I feel like that ties into the earlier part of the conversation too. We don't want to show it off as trying to put on a show, that is.
Right.
But we also shouldn't be ashamed of it. And I think that is the case. I mean, I know I have a hard time, and I tell myself I'm just not that kind of person that does the churchy talk. And maybe I'm not. Maybe it's just not how my lexicon is structured in my head. But at the same time, I probably overthink how I speak to people and withhold things. And I'm working on it. Actually, so this is a little bit of a rabbit hole, but not too much of one. So I took a leadership course this spring, and it was fantastic. It was pretty life-changing in a lot of ways for me. And it went well enough. They asked me to help out to staff the one this coming spring, to work with the participants directly to help them through. So as we're going through staff development courses now, we're going through the lessons that I just took in April, I guess it was. It was in April. And so it's all flooding back into my brain. And one of them is that we get cards, a little stack of cards with 20 or 30 common values. And we are to go through this deck, and it's a physical piece of paper, and just kind of sort them out and pick our top 10. And then narrow that down to your top 5. And narrow that down to your top 3 values. And the exercise is called Know Thyself. And in this exercise, I realized as I'm trying to help other people to know how to teach it, it was flooding back into my brain of, I didn't go through and find my top 5 and my top 3. It was, here's my top 5 or my top 10. What 5 can I do without? I don't know why that just clicked into my brain that way. So I've got five. What two now, because they wanted three. That was the exercise. What two can I do without? And I was shocked, and you would not be. It would probably be a significantly shorter trip for you to get here. But I looked down when I was done that I had in my number one spot, I had faith. And I did not expect that going in. That was a place I ended up. And that was pretty cool. That was a big move for me right there just this last April. That was a thing that happened for me that caught me off guard, and I expressed that a little bit indirectly, because I didn't tell them what my top three values were yesterday when I was at that course at the staff development. But I knew it, and I didn't say it. And I don't know why I didn't. I guess it probably wasn't super germane to the conversation. But I had an opportunity, and I passed it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there can be good to come out of that if there is a resolve that I don't want to miss that opportunity next time. We have to be careful. I don't want to miss. The focus can still be on me instead of, wow, God gave me a chance to be His messenger, and I don't want this person to miss Him and how I present Him.
Right.
It is so easy for me as a human being, as an American, to get a self-focus about things. So mm-hmm. Let me encourage you. It's not about you.
Right.
It is about that person that was sitting out there that needed to know there is an opportunity to connect with the living God, and you may be the example that gives them that opportunity.
And I guess that is what I mean. When I say that, I understand how it could have sounded. And I think that I didn't articulate that properly, that I had an opportunity to potentially facilitate
sure.
that connection, and I didn't take it.
Right. Well, what I'm talking about, though, I think I took it where you meant it.
Okay.
But what I'm talking about is that when I get to feeling guilty about missing that, then all of a sudden, if I'm not careful, it's about, oh, my, I missed that reward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I see what you're saying.
And so the guilt then is over what I missed instead of me saying, oh, God, what about that person that needed to hear that? And as believers, and this was the mantra of the Apostle Paul, joy is being able to give it away. And what he said to those people, he said, listen, my great joy and the gift you gave me was that you learned the power that when you give, you're God's messenger, and that when you need to be given to, God's able to provide. He may use someone else somehow, but God is able to provide in ways you can't imagine. So, wow. So, God help us to be faithful, because we get to be on His team and get to be a part of what He's doing.
Well, and that was to fall back to the book recommendation that you gave me there with the Finding Allah or Finding Jesus book. I felt like that was the same thing there, where there was, you know, David took that opportunity, but, and goodness, I can't remember the gentleman's name who wrote the book, because it's not a standard.
I don't even know how to say it, but was it Koresh? Something like that.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, something. Nadir, or was it Nadir? Anyway, it fantastic book, and the fact that I am apparently incapable of Nabil Qureshi. Yeah. So, and Nabil said, you know, had he just come in, beaten me over the head with this, wouldn't have been receptive. But the fact that he turned it into a friendly and trusting debate point, basically. Tell me, and a little, you know, there was some encouragement, like, tell me about this. Why do you feel this way? Well, but what about, and he said many times, that's a good point, Nabil. I don't understand. I don't know. Give me a couple days. Let me go research it. And went and found it out and came back, and they had more discussion. And again, it, you know, took 4 years or so, but what an amazing transformation. And for, and then for him, you know, to, for Nabil to move forward, to have come from a place like that, from a very orthodox Islamic family, that just made his whole position all the more powerful.
Yes. There's one word that we haven't said about David and Nabil, and that is love.
Yes.
He knew David loved him as an individual. You know, I've often said this in trying to train people to lead others to Christ. You cannot treat somebody like they're going to be a notch in your gun belt, that they are a project. No, people aren't projects. They're persons. They're people. Yeah. And one of the basic needs of every human being that's ever walked on the face of this earth is to be loved. And one of the last things that happens to most people on this earth is that they truly feel loved. And they have somebody, sometimes even somebody within their own family, but for sure having somebody outside of their family that is loyal and faithful to them and loves them no matter what. That if we give that to people as the children of God, by the way, that's what we got from God. Mm. And if we give that to people, they're like, wow. Wow, you really care about me.
Well, and that's something that I'm trying to work through. And I'm noticing a change in myself, and it makes me wonder what I'm going to look back and see when I think of today, a year, 2 years, 5 years from now. I hope the progress is as startling to me as I feel like just even the last 2 years has been. But is accepting and loving people where they're at. I still, not maybe I don't agree with their lifestyle or whatever. But treating them as a person anyway. We see, you know, the low-hanging fruit in this is the political scene right now. It's really easy to hate people because they voted the other way from what I wanted. But why? To what end? You know, I can still find joy in knowing that person. I can still love them and hopefully make a difference in their lives, a positive one, hopefully.
You know, the scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means at our lowest, most despicable self, Jesus died to save us. And if you think about that, he has called us to go out and love a world, not love the world, love the people of the world.
Right.
He has called us to go love folks.
No matter what.
And where, it's easy to love somebody that's good to you, somebody that does things for you. But boy, that person that is different for you, from you, is hard to love. It's hard to engage them because I find anger rising up in me sometimes in a conversation when somebody says something that, like, I really do despise that concept.
Right.
But we have to look past that and realize that we've got a person that's talking. The Apostle Paul, who was he? His name was Saul when we first introduced him in Scripture. And what was he doing? Well, the first time we hear his name, he is killing one of the sweetest, kindest men of God that is in all the Word of God. His name was Stephen. He was one of the very first deacons in the church. And who were the deacons? They were the ones that were called on by the church, set apart, to take care of widows and orphans. And here is Saul killing Stephen, orchestrating the stoning of this man. Despicable. And the Bible says that he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, struck with blindness, he's taken into Damascus, and God appears in a vision to Ananias, and he said, I want you to go to Saul. And Ananias says,
this won't work out well for me.
I'm probably going to die if I go see right. this guy. But Ananias went, and he discovered a man that was completely broken, a pile of putty, a man that was blind, and he cared about him. He did that on obedience to Christ. But God knew what he was doing when he called Ananias. He called somebody with love in his heart for people. And look at what that investment of Ananias brought. Mm. The greatest missionary in the history of the world.
Yeah. I think it's hard to love people. I mean, go to an extreme. Saul's essentially a murderer. That's not someone I want to go love naturally, easily. That's a big ask.
It is. As you said, I'm reminded of another book. There's a guy that I love to read after. His name is Bob Goff. And he wrote a book called Love Does. That's his first book. And it's a fun book. He's a fun guy. In the second book he writes, it's entitled Everybody Always. And it's talking about loving people. I'm not going to say what it is because I wouldn't want to ruin the book for anybody. But right. it had the most extreme example of love and undeserved love that I've ever heard about in my entire life. And when I read that, I just went, wow. I was awestruck by what God did because of what Bob talks about in his book, the second book. But you got to read the first one before you read the second one, or okay. you'll miss out on a All whole right. lot. But it's great stuff because this man has lived his life loving people. So.
All right. Well, good deal. I'm going to look it up and see what I find. See if I can find that on the interwebs here. You mentioned, and as I said, I was not, I sadly was not present on Sunday, this last Sunday, but I did catch the live stream. But you mentioned an ending to your sermon that was pretty powerful.
Well, that ending to my sermon that we're talking about started in this office that we're sitting in right now when I was studying last week. And one of the things that I want people to understand is the Word of God is alive and it's powerful. And when we take it literally and we try to make practical applications with our lives, the one the Holy Spirit convicts us of, then we see amazing things happen. And so I'm reading, Paul was, in all of his epistles, he had tendencies. He would start similar ways, like he would do a greeting to the particular church, and he would mention who was with him, whether it was Timothy or somebody else. And then he would conclude by giving lists of people that he wanted them to talk to, or he mentioned folks that he really wanted to call, to shout out to. And the first three words of the last section, which was three verses long, he said, greet all the saints. And I said, wow, how do you do that? And practically speaking, what did they do? Did they literally take that? Or did they just read it, okay, this is Paul's sincerely Paul apostle, Yeah. And so I read that, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and he said, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that Sunday? And I said, wow, How could we do that? To greet all the saints. You know, you've heard me talk about this, our people know, that it is my heart that nobody comes in the door of Majestic View Church without knowing that somebody's going to try and love them, somebody's going to try and care about them, somebody's going to try and meet them and engage them. Not to get a notch in our gun belt, but just right. to let them know this is a safe place, that you will be loved here. So I'm thinking, how could we greet all the saints? Now I'm thinking that we're going to have 250, 275 people here. How could we do that and make sure everybody gets greeted and obey that principle in that verse of Scripture? And so I got this idea in my head. Never thought about it before. Never thought about it being a possibility. That we would start with one person standing at a designated spot in the auditorium. And then everybody in the auditorium would pass by that person, look them in the eye, and then after they pass by, they would turn and face the same way that person, shoulder to shoulder, and then the line would just become a kind of a snake going around the auditorium. Right. So you know, person number two greeted one, then one turned and stood beside, two stood beside one, and then three came by, and now they're next to the number two person.
They said hello to one and two.
Yeah.
And
so we did that. Now, we found out that if we'd have tried to do that with 250 people, it probably would have been a disaster. But we started doing that, and all of a sudden, the room just lit up with joy. And people were laughing. I told them, just do a fist bump and look them in the eye. Nah, they didn't listen to what I said.
Yeah.
People were hugging. People were shaking hands. They were greeting each other.
We do have a rather physically affectionate church here. It's wonderful.
The more they did it, the brighter the light in the room and the greater Fantastic. The joy. It just multiplied. And what I thought would be a 5 or 10 minute exercise turned into 30 minutes. And then the amazing things started happening, and I would never embarrass anybody, but two of the most introverted people in this church that I was concerned would even participate, I looked up, and in front of one of them, there were 10 people standing there waiting for the next person to come by, because this person was taking so long with every person. And then I looked up again, and it happened to this second person that was very introverted, that would barely talk to anybody. And in front of that person, there was 10 people waiting between him and the one that was just in front of him. And I'm going, wow. And then all of a sudden, a guy walked up to me and he said, I'm going back through again. And Wonderful. It was that kind of a celebration. And then our worship leader, Matthew, he's like, what do we do now? I mean, our worship set, we haven't even done it yet. And there was this song that he changed the location of it in the service 3 times Sunday.
Okay.
And he chose to lead that song after we finished. And the title of the song was There's Joy in the House. And man, you're talking about a celebration. There was joy in the house of the Lord
Fantastic.
On Sunday. And then we sang our other worship set, and then we concluded. We sang it, Joy in the House, again. And everybody was there. I'm just sad that whole church could have been there. But then on the other hand, if the whole church had been there, there were people that said to me, Pastor, I love it. But if everybody had been here today, it would have taken all afternoon.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, it was a delight, my friend, a delight.
Because we get a fairly decent, we've discussed this before, but we get a fairly decent crowd in here on Sundays. And yeah, just mathematically, that exponentially grows in duration as you add, for each person you add. That could be
the thing that made it
be
do
awesome,
that though. If we'd have just done the fist bump, boom, boom, you know, like robots,
right.
It wouldn't have taken 5 minutes.
But people are who they are.
But our people embraced it, and they truly wanted to greet. And
yes.
I had some people that were counting how many people they greeted that they'd never seen before or never looked in their eye.
Fantastic.
And they said, Pastor, I knew all but this many. I knew all but this many. But they were consciously thinking, okay, is this a person I've never seen before?
That's actually been something that I thought of recently too, and I'm guilty of it too. There are people that I see in this church every Sunday, every Wednesday, any other day I come by, I run a decent risk of seeing them, and there's a lot that I've never talked to. There's some of our members here who, they just go out and they find every single person. They're very charismatic and they know everybody, or everybody knows them is probably more appropriate. And there's some that just kind of do their thing. I feel like I'm probably somewhere in the middle of that, but yeah, there's a lot of people that I've never talked to.
Let's
I talked to all of them right here on this podcast, but that's about it.
That there is an illustration though of how the enemy wants to steal that from us, mm-hmm. talking to other people. During COVID was a horrible time for this country.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible for a lot of reasons. There were people that lost dear loved ones. Okay, that was rough.
Right.
Their lives were stolen by, well, we won't get into all the dirty details.
A disease that was spreading, yeah, absolutely.
And probably developed on purpose, okay? And I'll stop there. but maybe even greater was to put on masks which isolates people. Now listen, if you have tendencies for things and you need to wear a mask, then, you know, I'm not going to belittle you, okay? But the fact is that when we start putting masks on people, carte blanche, then what we do is we create isolation. Because that mask has a way of fencing you in, mm-hmm. okay? And that was insidious. Insidious, especially when the leaders that said it, well, we know those masks really don't work anyway.
Well, and that's the biggest issue. Well, it's not the biggest, I guess, but that is a huge part of that issue is, you know, at first, I think we were all scared. I think everybody was. What is this? We don't know. But a year later, and you're still telling me wear a mask, but now, and especially now that we're 4 years away, we know they knew that it was ineffective, but it was a placebo.
Right. And my friend, let's not lose our point here.
Right.
Those masks were used by our ultimate enemy to isolate people from people. We need each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need a hug. We need a handshake. We need a smile that we can see. We need that. And Sunday, we had so much light in the room. I'm not talking about the stuff that was shining down from the ceiling. I'm talking about the glory of God came because His people were embracing each other emotionally, physically. And it wasn't like everybody was hugging everybody. I'm just saying we were engaged and seeing people. You know, one of the hardest things in this world for people that have low self-esteem is they feel like they're invisible, that nobody really cares about them, that nobody really sees them.
Yeah.
And listen, you can go all the way to your marriage. If you go through a few days and you don't see your wife, or your wife doesn't see you, and especially when you're going through a difficult time, mm-hmm. and they don't notice, you feel more and more isolated. It breaks the relationship. It's what causes marriages to begin to fall apart.
Yeah.
Because I need to focus on seeing, but there's also times I need to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's true in all of my relationships on this earth. So Sunday was a celebration of being seen and intentionally seeing other people. And the joy in the house was spectacular.
You know, and to put that silver lining on COVID, where we can, I think it's important to put silver linings where we can. I wonder if we'll look back on that time, or maybe we should already be looking back on that time, that was an awakening of how much can you know how much you need other people if you always have other people. But it wasn't until it was taken away from us that we realized we need that. We need to see people. Our kids need to see their friends. We need to see our friends. We need to see other humans and talk to them and have relationships outside of our lonely little cubicle of life, wherever we build that.
Yeah. Let me end with a story, a little kind of a parable-like story that I have told many, many times that illustrates how important that is. There was this man, went to this church, part of the church, but he quit going for a while. He got discouraged, got busy, whatever it was. And so the pastor came to see him. It was a cold day. Pastor comes in and said, "Come on in, Pastor. Come have a seat. Got the fire going. You want a cup of coffee?" So the pastor goes in and sits down. And this guy's sitting there thinking, boy, he's fixing to lay into me. He's going to get after me because I haven't been coming to church. Pastor didn't say a word. And they just talked and visited. After a while, the pastor got up to leave. And when he did, he walked over to the fireplace. And he picked up the poker. And he poked one log off by itself. And left it laying there and turned around and said, "We missed you." And he left. And you know what? Isolation will cause our fire to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. Isolation will increase our depression. We need people. Very profound illustration.
It is. And I don't
know. Oh, by the way, he was in church the next Sunday.
Of course he was. I know a few better places to make those connections and to break out of my own eyes. It's so easy for me to not even leave my house for days, let alone leave my property. I can stay on my property for weeks if I don't have to go somewhere for work. But I don't know of too many better places than to come right here and see good people who set an example for me of how to be a better person and how to live my life. I think it's profoundly important, which is why I try to be here.
There you go, bro.
One of the reasons.
There you go. So. Good.
Well, for next week, what do we have to look forward to?
Well, we're making a transition. We're leaving the book of Philippians, and we're about to enter into the season when we celebrate Jesus and his birth. I'm not going to preach a whole series of sermons about Christmas or the birth of Christ, but I really have a heart that I'm working on of how do we make Jesus really the reason for the season. Mm. And also a theme of praise, of just, wow, lifting up Jesus and for who he is and what he is and discovering him. Of course, on Christmas Sunday and then Christmas Eve, which we always have a service here, it's a big service for us, we're going to end up at the manger, at the birthplace of Jesus. But getting there, I think we may go forward instead of backward. We may do a little bit of both, but I really want to talk about the reason for the season and why we should praise him and how do we praise him. So,
fantastic. Well, I'm going to look forward to that, and I'm curious to see where that goes on our podcast as a seasonal-ish kind of thing. It's I, I you for some reason, you saying that just clicked in my brain that Thanksgiving's in a couple weeks. Christmas is not far around the corner. I should feel more seasonal with 36 inches of snow sitting in my yard right now.
Well, you know, we're 6 weeks away.
Oh my gosh.
6 Sundays away before Christmas.
Is that all?
Oh yeah, my goodness. It will be here before we know it.
You know, and I look forward to it. It's a fantastic time of year, and what a great holiday to celebrate.
Amen.
You know, Thanksgiving's fantastic. Halloween's silly. So many of our holidays are just silliness, but that's one of the few that I actually really enjoy celebrating as it is.
Amen. So, sounds good.
All right. Well, we'll see each other next week.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you.